May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. You'll notice that we have our setup here for baptism to happen in a few hours at 11 o'clock. It's a joyful day in the life of our church. In these hot and very slow and sticky summer months, I will take any excuse to get a creamy whip. As such, I was delighted to meet up on Monday night with Sylvie, who is the five-year-old who's going to be baptized today, her mom, Laura, and her godfather, Clarence, at Putz's Creamy Whip. The sun was beating down on us, and I couldn't eat my cone fast enough. It was just dripping onto my hand and onto the table. But over vanilla soft serve and orange sherbet and a dirt sundae, we talked about big stuff. We talked about what it means to be a part of God's family, how we are loved by God always and forever, and how nothing we can do can ever separate us in any kind of permanent way from the love of God. We talked about how in baptism we are called to honor God's creation and to respect one another. Sylvie's godfather, Clarence, pointed to a tree next to the picnic table where we were seated. And he told Sylvie that like the roots that grow underground that support the tree, Sylvie's godparents, her friends, and her family would be there to help her to grow into the full stature of her life of faith and her life in Christ. Come what may, come questions or doubts, Sylvie is and will continue to be surrounded by a community of caring people who have each explored and expressed in their own way what it means to live into God's love. It occurred to me as we sat and talked and pondered these things over our ice cream that beyond the festive clothes that will be worn, beyond the vibrant flowers that were homegrown for today's occasion that adorn our altar, beyond the beautiful hymns that we will hear, and even beyond the splashes of water that will move over her forehead, beyond all of that, baptism is about following in the way of Jesus, no matter the cost. Theologian Brad Braxton writes that baptism is about serving God. He writes, quote, "To serve God is to struggle for our freedom and the freedom of others," end quote. While baptism is about one's individual relationship with the living God, baptism is also fundamentally about our relationship with all of God's creation. In Luke's gospel this morning, we hear of how Jesus appointed 70-some followers to go out to all the cities and towns he would eventually enter. His instructions to them are a little bit complex and multifaceted, but the instructions seem to revolve around a basic premise. The premise is that following him will be costly, and people will reject and refute the message of peace that they proclaim. Nonetheless, they are to be persistent in their messaging. The kingdom of God has come near. Nonetheless, they are to remind everyone they encounter that something new, different, radical even, is underfoot. Jesus' ministry of compassion, mercy, and justice upends the world as they know it and the world as we know it. Jesus' ministry calls so many into loving action, not just a few people, right? He didn't send out 2 or 4, but 70 people to go and spread this message. In baptism, we are called to share the good news of God's love with all whom we encounter, in word and deed. But unfortunately, the truth is that sometimes it feels as though the world is not poised to hear the good news that we are set out to proclaim. Sometimes it feels like the world not only doesn't hear it, but doesn't want to hear it. And yet today we will be equipping Sylvie with our prayers and our blessing, that she would go out into the world embodying peace, that she would go out into the world embodying love, that she would go out into the world repairing breaches, reconciling that which has been broken, and joining with all the saints, past, present, and yet to come, in praising God for the many ways that God has blessed us. Scholar Amy Oden draws our attention to what it means to proclaim peace in reflecting on Luke's gospel. Much more than a feeling that it's all good, God's peace passes understanding and points to a reality in which divisions and discord are healed, and where we can see one another as we truly are, beloved children of God, essential members of God's family. Amy Oden writes, quote, "God's shalom is much more than being calm. It is confidence in God's abiding presence so that we might also share that presence with others. Engaging others means not treating them as objects upon which we act, but as sacred others with whom we are called to be peacefully present." End quote. If that sounds like a tall order, being fully and peacefully present to all others whom we encounter, that's because it is a tall order. However, let's turn our gaze back to baptism for a moment. The promises that will be reaffirmed today are always made with the knowledge that we need God's help in order to follow through on our end of the bargain. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Through our pediatrician's office, Molly and I are able to see a parenting coach. This has been a game changer for us. Her name is Dr. Sue. Dr. Sue always says, in this way that is both alarming and also reassuring, she always says that in the realm of mindful parenting, we should aim to get it right about 70 or 80% of the time. The other 20, 25, 30% of the time, we will miss the mark. We will be invited to assess what happened, to regroup, and to repair any damage that has been done. Dr. Sue encourages us to normalize that our family is not perfect. But she also encourages us to normalize that when we make a mistake, we work to make it right. When we mess up and treat one another as anything less than the sacred others we are. Being part of the Christian family is a lot like that too. We often fail to get it right the first time around, despite best intentions, and yet we keep coming back to the table. As the epistle states, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those in the family of faith. I don't know about you, but I am very heartened that you are here, that I am here, that Sylvie and her family and her godparents will be here. I am heartened that despite the risk that comes along with proclaiming peace, we are people who gather together to reap the rewards of shalom. I am heartened that we together are a family that strives with God's help to love one another as Christ has loved us, fully, fearlessly. So my family, may you be peace. May you know peace. May you share peace. Peace be upon you and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Amen.